Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V20 6-Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Stop by your nearest Lowe's store and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
And they will make you look good. My guests have been Professor Khalid, Amanda Clinton, and we've also had Professor Pierre Chia and Alfred Chia Yabua. That's a tall one coming from Professor Bob Watting, but unfortunately, time is not up. Time is up. Have a good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Midday News here on Joy 99.7 FM. This bulletin is all live on Love 99.5 FM in Kumasi, affiliates across the country and around the world at myjoyonline.com. Coming up, minority leader in parliament calls on the governing NDC to demonstrate greater tolerance for opposing views, describing the arrest and detention of petitioner Alfred Kumi as a blatant abuse of power.
You know, and clearly in this government, if you talk, you are silent. They will send people after you, threaten you in the media. So we are all watching.
And Deputy Interior Minister Ebenezer Tailabi says the state security agencies were simply doing their job.
Let's allow the security services to do their work. They should go to court if they think that the security services are not doing and they are not performing, you know, their duties properly.
President John Mahama addresses critics demanding evidence of policies from his administration that have led to the recent appreciation of the city.
Exactly what policy they have implemented that has resulted in the appreciation of the city. They cannot tell you one.
One policy. It's not about one policy. The answer is effective leadership.
Details, as he says, the improvement isn't the result of single policy, but rather a demonstration of strong leadership. Also, Governor of the Bank of Ghana attributes the recent appreciation of the city against the US dollar and other major trading currencies to increase foreign inflow as well as revenue from gold and cocoa.
The appreciation is largely driven by the market. It's not something that the central bank is using its reserves.
These are many more coming your way this afternoon. Let's settle for the details now. The minority leader, Alexander Afenyomaken, has criticized the governing NDC over the arrest and detention of Alfred Kumi, a citizen who recently filed a petition demanding that President Mahama dissolves the five-member committee probing allegations of misconduct against the Chief Justice, Gertrude Tokono. The minority leader described the action as blatant abuse of power and urged the government to show greater tolerance for opposing views. Speaking to journalists during the detention of Alfred Kumi, the minority leader expressed deep concern over how he termed the growing intolerance of dissent under the current administration.
Gradually, government is showing intolerance and they have to watch it, because if government allows extremists and hardliners to control the government, it doesn't help the cause of democracy. We're in this country, and we all know how the NDC executives, leaders in parliament, party folks, their posture. We all know the kind of posture, you know, and attitude in opposition. I'm not sure that if what we're seeing today had happened to any of them, the NDC would have been quiet. Be that as it may, they have government now. Government is trying to show its powers, you know, and clearly in this government, if you talk, you are silenced. They will send people after you, threaten you in the media. So we are all watching. If this is the kind of reset they promised us, let's see.
Well, Alfred Kumi was released last night from the National Intelligence Bureau after being charged with publication of false materials. A Deputy Interior Minister, Ebenezer Tailabi, says the state security agencies were simply doing their job.
Let's allow the security services to do their work. They should go to court if they think that the security services are not doing and they are not performing, you know, their duties properly. So I don't think that this is something that we should be, you know, belabored. They should go to court if they think that what is going on is wrong. But that will not stop the security services from doing their duty. Because there's nobody is above the law. Nobody is above the law. They should stop politicizing it and rather accuse, you know, the government of the day. Who called you know, people to amass? Is it the first time that NIB is undertaking such, you know, an activity? No.
Well, Associate Professor of Law at the University of Ghana, Kwajo Apiagyetia, wants the national security to revise its operational model to de-escalate political tensions.
The issue is quite sensitive. We live in a situation where there's been a recent change in government and the new government is trying to position itself to, rule for the next 4 years. And the NPP is still coming to terms of having lost the elections. So the whole environment seems to be politicized or politically charged, and there's a lot of political tension that is still in the air. Mm-hmm. So when such issues arise, much as the person may be in the wrong, there should be some sense of sensitivity and an approach that is less militaristic than what we see, so that the person may be invited quietly and the necessary information taken, and that would be a better way of dealing with the matter.
Professor Kwajo Apiagyetia is with the University of Ghana Law Faculty. Now let's talk about the city, because President Mahama says since assuming office, his administration has been focused on addressing the high cost of living through targeted interventions, responding to critics who have demanded proof of policies that have led to the appreciation of the city. The president said it is not about a single policy, but rather effective leadership and a combination of strategies that are turning the economy around. His comments follows the 2024 MPP flag. Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia challenged the administration to identify one specific policy responsible for the current city gains. We'll hear from President Mahama shortly, but first listen to Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia.
If you ask a simple question to the NDC to point out exactly what policy they have implemented that has resulted in the appreciation of the city, they cannot tell you one that has been implemented, not sort of talked about, but actually implemented. They cannot tell you one such policy. They only passed their budget in March. They've not even issued any contracts and paid for anything, pretty much. You know, so you cannot ascribe what is happening to the currency to a policy that they have implemented. There's no such policy that has been implemented that has had that impact yet.
So is there a policy that the president can point to? Well, listen to President John Mahama.
The first and foremost was the cost of living and the general hardship that Ghanaians were going through. And so that has been one of the main focuses of the administration in the last 5 months we've been in office, focusing on stabilizing the economy, focusing on reducing hardship, cutting down expenditure, bringing more accountability into government, and acting a strong fight against corruption, introducing codes of conduct to guide leaders in a political office. So these are all things that we have focused on and fast-tracked in the last 5 months. And happily, we have seen a response to the work that we've done, especially when it comes to the economy and hardship and all that. And somebody says, point to one policy that you have implemented to make the CD appreciate. And I said, one policy? It's not about one policy. The answer is effective leadership. With effective leadership, we can turn this economy around and create a better life for our people. And that is what I'm committed to.
And you heard President John Mahama. Now, let's stay a little longer on the matter of the city, because the governor of the central bank, Dr. Echisiama, has credited the recent appreciation of the Ghanaian cedi against the US dollar and other major trading currencies to a combination of increased foreign inflow and strong earnings from gold. And that's what he was addressing the media yesterday.
The appreciation is largely driven by the market. It's not something that the central bank is using its reserves. If you look at the data pack that we have put out, you can see that our reserve program is growing, is going up. So we are not using our reserves to intervene in the market. and therefore the appreciation you are seeing is driven by the international flows that remittances, cocoa, gold, and the likes. If you look at the external sector performance, the current account is in surplus, trade balance is doing so well. These are the factors that are driving movement in the exchange rate. So yes, it's appreciation. However, for us, it's about maintaining exchange rate stability. Remember, the exchange rate is an endogenous variable, as we always say. It has to fluctuate, right? And what we have is a managed floating regime. It has to move. So you may see it go down, you may see it go up. The important thing is that the swings are not excessive. It is in our interest to ensure exchange rate stability going forward.
Dr. Johnson Esiama is the governor of the Bank of Ghana. Now to the Ashanti Regional Capital, Kumasi, where the National Disaster Management Organization is on a mission to prevent full-blown flooding situation as they embark on a major desilting exercise in at least 17 drains in the greater Kumasi metropolis. The exercise comes after flood waters inundated homes and some shops in recent downpour in parts of the city. Emmanuel Bright, who joined a team of NADMO officers to start the desilting exercise in the Pelele stream in Kumasi, and this is his report.
Many drainage systems in the greater Kumasi metropolis are heavily choked with sand debris and filth from households and commercial activities. The situation poses a precarious risk to communities along drains with imminent threats of flooding. The Pelele stream around the Kumasi airport in the Dichamso enclave is one of the many streams which has always been at the mercy of the environmental menace. The Ashanti Regional NADMO office is embarking on a 12-day desilting exercise in major drains within the greater Kumasi metropolis. The 17 drains include airports, Bokrum South Africa, Moshi Zongo, Parkoso Estates, Angloga Junction, Oforikrum, Ahinsai, Kase, Atonso Markets, amongst others. Alhaji Mohammed Nasir Ibrahim is the Ashanti Regional NADMO director.
These are all very choked drains, and we hold the belief that once we clear them thoroughly, as much as possible, the rains will come anyway, but they will have smooth passages, and so the likelihood of overflowing to cause havoc and disaster to those nearby and to our roads and block traffic, disallow us from going to work and all of that, if we don't cancel it completely, I'm sure the quantum will be far less. In a few minutes after the rains, even if the place is flooded, we expect that it to pull away because we have made way for the waters to pass through.
For years, residents living along these waterways have demanded an expansion of the narrow culverts underneath bridges over these drains. Why must we wait until someone dies before we construct a proper bridge? As private individuals continue to build on waterways, NADMO says it will in the coming days launch an attack on structures erected in wetlands.
In the particular case of this government, there's still transition. So if we're able to do this, it gives us the impetus to recommend, to engage, and get those things sorted. So yes, those building on waterways, unfortunately, they should get ready for us. We'll come after them.
For Joy News, my name is Emmanuel Bright Kweku.
And before we go, a waterway on the Dolijali Road in the Savannah region has claimed 3 lives over the years, underscoring the urgent need for a bridge construction project to be completed. The most recent death occurred last year when a man died in an attempt to cross the waterway. Despite the importance of this project, progress is slowing down because the contractor said they are in dire need of resources to be able to complete the bridge before the rain sets in. This is a report from Martina Bugri.
The Banvum Daloyele Bugja Road Project, launched in 2023, aims to save lives and open the area up to the rest of the world. Contractors Sam Sakabu Company Limited were tasked with building a bridge over the waterway residents have described as a death trap. During the rainy season, residents are cut off from the rest of the world, making it difficult to access an essential service like healthcare. Although the bridge is 78% complete and has brought some relief to commuters, the excitement may be cut short because progress of work is threatened by the lack of funding from government. Here are some commuters.
We have lost approximately 3 lives here as a result of its poor nature. So at least we are happy for now. The road is not that bad as compared to how it was. We are grateful, however, we are pleading on authorities to get it tarred.
CEO of Messrs. Sam Sakabu Company Limited, contractors of the project, Salifu Abdul Samed, expressed concern that their creditors are beginning to pull out, adding that he's yet to receive a CD from the government of Ghana since he started work in 2023.
Start the bridge from 0.2 where it's today, and nothing has been paid to me to continue to do the job. And now, and they added me a second phase of the road. And I'll continue working the second phase together with the bridge.
Well, Martin Abugri, Father Report, that's it for the news at 12 here on Joy 99.7 FM. For more stories, log on to our website, myjoyonline.com. The Joy Sports link is up next with my man, Nathaniel Lato, who is not in black today. So what's happening today?
So what? Black is my favorite color.
Maybe we can go to. Maybe we can have the fear.
It's life, and you know, the stages of life and what it presents to you at you know, at certain times. But hey, you know, we're building up to the wrapping up of the qualifiers, the FIFA World Cup qualifiers.
Right.
Remember that in September we'll be playing the final set, mm-hmm. and the agenda is to make sure that we record 3 points per game to make sure that we can seal qualification. Mm-hmm. In the absence of that kind of win format, then we'd have to settle for a second option, which is that they'd go through all of the groups and look for the best performing second place teams. Mm-hmm. They'll come together, play, you know,
some kind of a
playoffs. Mm-hmm. And then the winning team from all of those playoffs plays the similar, you know, their counterparts from the Asia region.
Right.
And then based on that, we can get one more slot to make it 10 African teams.
That's
you know, yeah, the conversation has been, you know, largely about, you know, the fact that this World Cup is an expanded format. There are more numbers there. Mm. So this, more than any other episode, we have to be there and we have to play. And at least we're not lost on the benefits of playing at the FIFA World Cup, what it does in terms of legacy and what it does in terms of, you know, social cohesion for our people. So it's a big conversation. But the upcoming Peace Cup in London, the Unity Cup, beg your pardon, in London, is seen to be a preparatory ground as all of the major leagues in Europe are wrapping up, and you know, our Ghana Premier League is also wrapping up. So now the question is, what kind of impact can it have on our performances and eventually, you know, make us assess our form ahead of the final set of qualifiers? It's quite a number of months away, but hey, we'll see how things go. There's also Formula One. We're looking up to Monaco, and the Liverpool fans want to do something amazing this weekend. Charlie, if you have a friend, you know, a friend who's a Liverpool fan, look for him, because something major is happening at the Good Park. We'll talk about it in a bit as well.
Okay.
Yeah, all of that here on the Joy Sports Link.
All right, thank you so much. So, Nats will settle in, and then that will start.
Yes, indeed. That's the Super Dial. We're here on the Joy Sports Link on Joy 99.7 FM. Big thanks to Samson Ladi Ayenini and the rest of the team. Executive producer Sammy Odame bringing us news files. And of course, Elton John Broby. Well, he does nothing close to singing, considering what his name suggests. Bringing us the midday news here on Joy 99.7 FM. Quite a lot to discuss this afternoon, as I've told you. Major conversation being hovered around the Black Stars and the major assignment that they are undertaking this weekend. So in the heart of London, the Black Stars will be engaged in the Unit Cup tournament, which is one many have looked forward to for many different reasons. But Ghana, Jamaica, Trinidad and Tobago, and Nigeria are taking part in this. Also as a way of getting themselves a little shaken up and, going. As everyone prepares to wrap things up with the FIFA World Cup qualifiers. So the major conversation is about hushing, rehushing, and making sure that you have it right technically before we get into the last round of qualifiers. And as I've mentioned already, Ghana really needs the 3 points in the remaining games to ensure that qualification is safe, sound, and delivered. So what kind of impact would this Unity Cup have? We'll be taking perspectives from Trinidad and Tobago. We'll also be taking perspectives from Nigeria. Do remember that anytime the rivalry comes up, it's a completely different conversation. This time, it's not about jollof. It's about good football and who is superior at it. We'll get into all of that right here on the Joy Sports Link on Joy 99.7 FM. You all do know the drill, don't you? It's 055-111-1997. 055-111-1997. And of course, anytime we bring you this kind of beat and this kind of vibe, it just tells you that something is coming up. This time, it's coming up somewhere in Europe. Tomorrow by now, we'll be getting ourselves ready for Lights Out. And you know, time flies so fast, they say. Time flies so, so fast. All too soon, we've gotten to gotten to one third of the season already. We're in Monaco already. And of course, there are big conversations to have because as we get into the Monaco Grand Prix, there are a few things regarding the use of tires that drivers have to get used to and get accustomed to. Rules about pit stops, which have to be adhered to. Otherwise, count yourself out or finishing on the podium. There are some groundbreaking rules ahead of the Monaco Grand Prix this weekend. And talk about that, I've been thinking about my brother George Quay. You know, George Quay should try to incorporate some F1 action into his new plays. You know, I see right now he's trying to do horses and all of that in adaptation of some of the biggest stage plays. George Quay, good afternoon to you, and thank you very much for always doing the listening here on the Joy Sports League. So back to the Monaco subject. It's a race week, and some rules definitely will apply. And, you know, so all drivers are required to make at least two pit stops, okay? Two pit stops during this very, very important race. Now, this is supposed to apply during both wet and dry conditions. Now, if the race is suspended and not resumed, drivers who don't use two dry tire types or three sets in total will get a 30-second penalty. 30 seconds. Wow. Now, the aim of this rule strategy is to bring strategy into play more than help and also more than help to make the race more and more exciting. So every car must use at least three sets of tires in the 78-lap race, the grueling 78-lap race. So this afternoon, David joins us for the conversations on F1. David Aloka, thank you so much, David, for joining us. Good to see you again.
Absolutely, an absolute pleasure being back here on Joy 99.7 FM with you, Nathaniel, to chop it up and talk about some sports, especially indeed Formula One.
Okay, so first of all, your reaction, your immediate reaction when you saw the rules that had been put together to be adhered to strictly for Monaco.
I was super excited because obviously everybody knows Monaco is a classic circuit, a circuit that has so much history, so much tradition, so much challenge for the drivers, right? But for the viewer, it can sometimes be a procession. It can be a race that doesn't have too much action going on because the roads are so narrow, so tight, overtaking is so tough. So Formula One has been looking for quite some time at how they could, you know, zhuzh up the race a bit more, bring a bit more excitement to the spectacle of Monaco. And I think this is a fantastic way to introduce that. Obviously, at most circuits or at all circuits around Formula One, there is a need for two different tyre types. But introducing three at Monaco, which basically means two pit stops, as you mentioned, it really then brings a great deal of excitement to the race. There's new areas of strategy that drivers, teams, they haven't thought about and they haven't had to consider throughout the history of the race over there. So I think it's pretty exciting.
Mm. Well, if you just joined us, we're here on the Joy Sports Link on Joy 99.7 FM on the stroke of 12:30. We're quickly taking a look at what we should be expecting going into the Monaco Grand Prix, which is coming in with some new rules which drivers have to adhere to very, very strictly. Of course, 78 grueling laps. It sure is going to be very, very exciting. And the fans here in Ghana are super excited as we look forward to this. And like I said, or like I mentioned earlier, there is a lot in terms of expectation because we've already hit a third of the races that we're supposed to have for the whole season. We're on race number 8 and we're a third of the journey already. Dave, tell me, with this, you're expecting excitement, but for you, it's been mentioned that the whole essence of the rules is just to expect that drivers are more strategic, they plan more, and they navigate their way even better.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Right now, get a free select tool when you buy the Craftsman V20 2-Pack Battery Kit. Whether it's the backyard, the bathroom, or beyond, Craftsman has the tools to help you power through and get the project done right. Because DIYing is unpredictable, but your tools shouldn't be. Shop Craftsman at Lowe's today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.